Masechta Sota, Daf Mem Hei, 7 lines from the top of Daf Mem Hei Amud Alef, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalam Mem Beis, Benegei Egla Rufa stated that Shloshim Bezna Agadol Shibushlaim Hoy Yitzin, and Rabbi Huda Ime Chamisha, that there were either 3 or 5 of the Sanhedrin that sat in Lishkas HaGozes that went down to the area where a person was killed, and in order to determine which city would have to bring Egla Rufa, they would have to measure from the spot of where that person was killed until the closest city, and that would determine which city would bring the Egla Rufa. And the Mishnah did not mention any requirement to have the king or the Kohen Gadol involved in that measuring. And the Gemara continues, Masis and like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the time to be explained to the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov states, Zekenecha Zuz Sanhedrin, that the word Zekenecha comes to tell you that the Sanhedrin has to be involved in the Medida, and Sheftecha Zemel the Kohen Gadol, and Sheftecha refers to the king and the Kohen Gadol, and they would also have to be part of the process of the Medida. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov explains that how do I know that the word Sheftecha refers to the king and the Kohen Gadol as Melech Tachsiv, as the Pasuk states in Mishlei, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, and therefore we see the Lashon Mishpat b'negei king, and Kohen Gadol d'chsiv, as the Pasuk states, Uvasel ha-Kohenim al-Levim v'la-Shefet ashiyah b'yam mahim, and the Pasuk is telling us that you should come to the Kohenim who are the Levim, and to the judge of the Kohenim, which refers to the Kohen that's in charge of the other Kohenim, and referring to the Kohen Gadol, and therefore we see the Kohen Gadol also is called the Shefet, and therefore when the Pasuk says Shefetecha, it refers to the king and the Kohen Gadol, and they also have to be involved in the Medida, and the Mefarshim discuss that how is it that we can learn from one word, and we can learn from the word Sheftecha, the din that a Melech and a Kohen Gadol have to be involved in the Medida, and generally we only can learn one din from a word. And the Gemara continues, Ibailu, we have the following Shaila, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ben Melech v'Kohen Gadol, who did Palig, is it that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was Kohelik on our Mishnah, b'negei a Melech and Kohen Gadol, he says that they have to be involved in the Medida, al Sanhedrin, Ikrab Yehuda, Ikrab Shimon's relay, but b'negei the Sanhedrin, he either holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you need 5 of the Sanhedrin to go and do the Medida, or does he hold like Rabbi Shimon that you need 3, but the mice he's not chaylik on Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon completely. Or maybe he's chaylik even by the gate of Sanhedrin. And although Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon say you don't need the full Sanhedrin, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hold that you need the complete Sanhedrin and you need all 71 dayanim to come and measure and be involved in Medida. And the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yosef wants to bring a raya from the following brisa that discusses Zakim Mamri, and we know that Zakim Mamri is a Talmud Chacham that goes and paskins against the Sanhedrin. Hedrin Gedolah that sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, and if he does so, he will be Chai Misa. And Rabbi Yosef states, Tashma, I'll bring you the following Braisa as Raya, Matzon Zakim Mamri at Beipagi. If the Zakim Mamri found the Sanhedrin by Beipagi, and Rashi says that was the area of Yushlaim that was outside the original walls of Yushlaim, but it was included in the outer walls of Yushlaim, and it was considered part of Yushlaim, and then after he heard the Psak of the Bezin, the Himralayan, and he still went to his city, and he paskin not like the Sanhedrin, and therefore it was considered that he rebelled against the Sanhedrin, Yochotei Amras Amra, you would think that it would be considered rebellion and it would be Chayim Miso, Tamil Leimo. Therefore, the Pasuk teaches us, B'negei Zokim Amri, the Kamta Velisa Lamakim, that it's only when you go up to the Makim, Milamit Shamakim Gurim. This teaches us that the only way that a person could become a Zokim Amri is if he argues on the Sanhedrin Gedeila while they're actually in the Makim HaMikdash and then the Lishkas HaGozes. And Rabbi Yosef now continues with his Raya, the Nafa Kama, how many of the Sanhedrin were out of the Lishkas HaGozes and did he meet in Yushlaim? Enough of Miksasan, if you're going to say there was only part of Sanhedrin that was out of Lishkas HaGozes, and he asked them a Shaila, then of course he's not going to be a Zakim Mamre, and you don't need a Pasuk to teach us that, because since he's only arguing on part of Sanhedrin, and maybe the rest of Sanhedrin would agree with him, so therefore, of course, it's not considered a rebellion against the Sanhedrin, and therefore, of course, he wouldn't be Chayim Misa, Elopshita, enough of Kulu. And by the fact that we needed a Pasuk to teach us that he's not considered a Zakim Mamre, it must be that the entire Sanhedrin would not in the Lishkas HaGozes, and he met them bebe pagi, and therefore the chiddush of the brice is that you may think that he's considered Zakim Amri because in Maisa he went against the psak of the Sanhedrin. However, the pasuk tells us v'kamta v'lis alamakim, and there's exeris hakasav that the only way to become a Zakim Amri is only if you heard a psak from the Sanhedrin while they were in the Lishkas HaGozes. Rabbi Yosef continues ulamai, and why did they go out of the Sanhedrin? Ilid varishus, if they left the Beis Hamikdash and they left the Lishkas HaGozes because of a varishus mi matzunafki, there's a din that the entire Sanhedrin is now leave the Makam HaMikdash, because Baksiv, the Pasuk of Shir Hashim tells us, Shorich Agan Asar Al Yechsa HaMozeg, and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph teaches us that this is referring to the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and the Pasuk teaches that a person's navel, which is in the middle of a person's body, is shaped like a moon, and when you dilute your wine, you should not dilute it with too much water. And the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin explains that this Pasuk is referring to the Sanhedrin Gedolah, which was located in the Lishkas HaGozes, which was in the center of Eretz Yisrael, and as the Gemara teaches us over there, that the Sanhedrin Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle and it looked like the crescent of the moon. And the pasuk teaches us that you should not dilute the Sanhedrin. And even though generally the dilution is 2 pots water and 1 pot wine, and therefore at all times you have to have at least 1 pot out of 3 of the Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGazis, and you can't dilute it more than that. And at all times you have to have at least 23 members of the Sanhedrin that are still in the Lishkas HaGazis. As our Gemara continues, Shem Nitzrach Echem Hem Lotzeis, if one of the members of the Sanhedrin have to leave, Im Yesham Esam Shleisha Kineged Sanhedrin Ketana Yotzei, if you have at least 23 members of Sanhedrin that would still be there, which would be the same amount as a Sanhedrin Ketana, which is of course 23, then he could leave. Then Lav, but if there won't be 23 left, Eini Yotzei, then he's not to leave. Therefore, how can we say that the Zokim Mamre met the entire Sanhedrin if they went out for a Dvar Rishus? And you can't say that Roiv of Sanhedrin left, and they left 23 in the Lishkas HaGazis, as even if he would argue on all of the ones that left, and even though they're Roiv of Sanhedrin, and therefore, of course, we would paskin like them. However, Lamaisa, since it's possible that the 23 that are left in the Lishkas HaGazis would agree to this Zokim Mamre, so it wouldn't be considered a Zokim Mamre, as Lamaisa, that's not considered rebellion against the Sanhedrin, since it's possible that some members of the Sanhedrin would actually agree with him. And Rabbi Yossi therefore proves El Pshita L'Dvar Mitzvah, it must be that the complete Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazis in order to go and do a mitzvah. And Lamayin, what mitzvah were they going to do? Lav L'Medidas Agla, it must be that they were going in order to measure for the Egla Rufa, and we see that we need the complete Sanhedrin in order to measure for the Egla Rufa. Certainly Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda do not agree to this Shita, and it must be that the Tana of this Braisa is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues on Rabbi Yehuda and on Rabbi Shimon, but again the Sanhedrin as well, and he holds that you need the Melech, you need the Kohen Gadol, and you need the full Sanhedrin in order to do Medida. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Abayas, Abayas said back to his Rebbe Rabbi Yosef, Loi, that maybe that's not true. Dilmul Hosef Alayir V'Alazaris, although it's true that you have a Raya that the Sanhedrin must have left the Lishkas HaGazis in order to go for a mitzvah, but the mitzvah that they went for is not been again a Medida of the Eglar Rufa, but they went in order to go through the process of adding on Kedusha to the city of Yerushalayim and on Dazaris. And Kiditan, and this we have a Mefurisha Misha too, that the Bezdin has to do this, as Eim Yisifan al-Ir Ba'azaris, Elo Bezdin Shal Shim Ve'echad, that the only way to add on and increase the Kedusha of Yerushalayim as well as Dazaris is only with the involvement of the Bezdin of Shim Ve'echad, which is the Sanhedrin that was sat in the Lishkas HaGazis. It is in that scenario that the Zokim Mamre found them Bebe Pagi, and he actually went and rebelled against them, and even so, he's not considered Zokim Mamre, and he would not be Chayim Misa based on the Pasuk of the Kamta Velisa Lamakim, Melam Isha Makim Garim. And therefore, Zokta Bayit Rabbi Yosef, that you don't have a Raya as to what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold, ben Negeid, the Din of Sanhedrin, and it's still possible that he would hold that all you need in order to do Medida is either 3 Dayanim like Rabbi Shimon, or 5 Dayanim like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara continues that even though Abayi asked this question Rabbi Yosef, and he stated that you can't bring a Raya from the prior Braisa, but Tani Kavasi Rabbi Yosef do have another Braisa where it's Mefurish like the Raya Rabbi Yosef, and we will see a Raya that Lefi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we require all 71 of the Sanhedrin Gedolah of the Lishkas HaGazis to do the Medida for the Eglar Rufa. The Braisa states, Matzana Beis Pagi Vehimralein Kagoin Shiyotzal Medidas Egla Oil Hosef Alair Valazaris Yochot Heim Ras Emra Tamalim Vekanta Velisa Malamin Shamakum Gurim. And this Braisa states Mefurish that the reason why the entire Sanhedrin was out of Lishkas HaGazis was because they went out to measure for the Eglar Rufa. We see that there's a requirement for the entire Sanhedrin to be involved in measuring for the Eglar Rufa. Just to point out that the Tesis Rosh states, Afagav Daminim Sanhedrin Perkin Achlochin Shad Sanhedrin Yeshim Lishkas HaGazis Mitamin Shal Shacha Atamin Shal Ben Abayim. And therefore, why is the Gemara bringing a Raya that it had to be that you find the Sanhedrin at a place that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it must be that they went to the Dvar Mitzvah if maybe they were just walking home, and that's where the Zokim Mamre found them. And the Tesis Rosh points out, Lo Misrami Shi Matzu Kulin Biachad, that the Gemara feels that unless they were going in order to do a Dvar Mitzvah, then it doesn't make sense that when it was off hours of the Sanhedrin, they would find all the members of the Sanhedrin together at once. And the Gemara continues, a quote from Mishnah, Nimtza Tam Begal, if you found a corpse that was underneath a pile of rocks, or Tala Be'ilad, or hanging from a tree, or Tzafa Pnei Mayim, or was floating in the water, Lo Ya'arfim, that the din of the Eglar Rufa would not apply. And the Mishnah brought a pasuk in order to teach us this, as the pasuk states, Ki Yimotzi Cholo Ba'adama, Shashem Alakachem Naisel Cholo Rishda, Noifel Basada. And the Mishnah stated, Ba'adama V'lo Tom V'gal, Noifel V'lo Tala Be'ilad, Basada V'lo Tzafa Pnei Mayim. But we see from the Mishnah that the word Ba'adama clearly teaches us that the din of Eglar Rufa does not apply unless the corpse is clearly on the ground and is not covered by a pile of rocks. And we see that the word Ba'adama is a miut that excludes anything which is covered. And the Gemara therefore states, Leim Masis and Rabbi Yehudi v'lo Rabbanan, let us say that our Mishnah is going like the Shita Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Shita Rabbanan in the following Braisa. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, B'negei Adinu Shikha, the Pasuk states, B'shechachta im basada, that someone will forget a pile of grain in his field, and we learn out Pratlutam and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says that the word basad teaches us that the only time you chayiv for shikha is only if you left a pile of wheat on top of the sada and it's revealed. But if the owner left a bundle of wheat that's covered over by something, then it's not included in the din of shikha. However, Chum would state basad the Rabbi said Taman. They learned the word basada comes as a riboy, and it teaches us that as long as that bundle is found in the sada, then the din of shikha does apply. And lechayir lefidah shita rabbanon, then when the pasuk states ba'adama, we should learn that the din of egla rufa even applies, even if the body is covered up by a pile of racks, and that is not like our Mishnah. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav, that Rav states, afilu tam rabbanon, and we could say that our Mishnah is even going like rabbanon, and hacham in yadin dekra, and hasam in yadin dekra, and each word you have to look at in its context. And Rav continues and explains, hacham in yadin dekra, b'negei egla rufa, we have to look at its context, the chsiv, and the pasuk states, ki matzei chalal, when you found a dead body, and we should learn, kol hechad u'mishtakech, that anywhere where you find a corpse, the din of egla rufa would apply, and therefore, when the Torah states ba'adama, it really doesn't have to tell us a riboy, as l'cher, based on the word ki matzei chalal, we would already know that the din is that egla rufa applies, even if the body is covered up, and therefore, by the Torah stating ba'adama, and it's an extra word, it must be that it's coming to remind something, and it's coming to teach you, pratlutamun, that the only way that egla rufa applies is only when the body is revealed, and it's on the sada, but if it's concealed, and it's covered over by a pile of stones, then the din of egla rufa does not apply. Rav continues, v'hasim in yad rukra, and b'degei shikha, we also have to look at the context of the pasuk. As the chsiv, the pasuk states, ki siksa ktsir chabasada v'shechachta ima, since the pasuk talks about ktsira as well as shikha in the same pasuk, and therefore we compare the two to each other, shikha dumir dekatsa, and we would say that the only time that the din of shikha is applicable is only in a scenario that's similar to the katsir, mak katsir begali, just like when someone's cutting their field and cutting their produce, it's something which is revealed to them and something that's not covered over, af shikha begali, and therefore we would learn that the only time that shikha applies is only if the bundle of wheat is uncovered and not tamun, and therefore kasrachmana basada l'rabbisas ha-tamun. And over here, since we have the extra word basada, so therefore, in the context that we're talking about, since without the word basada, we would already know that it would not apply to tamun. Therefore, when it says the word basada, it must be coming to teach us that the din of shikha even applies to something that is tamun. And b'negei this din, we don't have a comparison between shikha and katsir. And the Gemara continues that since we just stated that based on the pasuk itself of the six we would make a comparison between shikha and katsir, and we would say ma katsir begalui af shikha begalui. Why does the Braisa state v'shechach ta'im v'sada? And we learn out basada pratlutamun according to Rabbi Huda. L'chira, as the Gemara now is, Rabbi Huda nami tepkalei m'shikha dumi de katsir. Why does Rabbi Huda need the word basada to teach us pratlutamun? And the Gemara answers einachanami that according to Rabbi Huda, we really don't need the word basada to teach us pratlutamun. And the Gemara therefore says v'el basada lamli according to Rabbi Huda, what does he need the word basada for? The Gemara explains, that in Chanami, Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word basada that if someone leaves a bunch of tua that's standing in his field and he forgets about it, then the din is that he can't go back and recut it and he can't take it and he has to leave it for the aniyim, even though on a different side of the field he left peya. And as Rashi states, Shim Shachach Zovis Achas Liksa Koyala Balei Sashul Lukachtoi V'Hachim Mashma and Niz Mashmaisa V'Pasit V'Shachachta Ima, either he forgot a bundle or V'Shachachta Basada, or if he actually forgot a bunch of wheat that was still standing in the sada. And just keep in mind that Lefi Zeh comes out that the end result, even Rabbi Huda agrees to Rabbanan that the word basada as it pertains to the din of shikha is not coming as a miut and it's actually coming as a ribui. And the Gemara continues, Rabbanan and according to Rabbanan, shikha's come minalu, since they use the word basada l'rabbi sasataman, so how would Rabbanan know that if a person left a part of his field that it was uncut, that it's also for him to go and cut that tefuah? And the Gemara explains, nafgluhu michisiksa ktsircha b'sadecha, that they learn from the beginning of the pasuk that states the word sadecha, and therefore we learn as long as you leave anything in your sada, you have to leave it there, and shikha applies even to the standing tefuah that's in your sada. And Rashi explains nafkluhu mi b'sadecha v'shechachta. It's as if it stated shechachta es k'tzah sadehu, that even if you forget part of your sada, you still have to leave it. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Huda, and according to Rabbi Huda, what does he do with the word b'sadecha? And the Gemara says mi b'yilich Rabbo, he needs this word to teach us the din Rabbo Amr Rabbi Laza, the Amr Rabbo Amr Rabbi Laza, because Rabbo stated the name Rabbi Laza. That the din of shikha only applies to tefuah that's within your own field. However, if you had tefuah in your field and then a wind came and blew it over the fence into someone else's field, then the din of shikha would not apply. And the Gemara continues, Rabbanan, and how did Rabbanan know that there's no din of shikha on anything that flew into your neighbor's field? And the Gemara states, Mibisada Bisadecha, since it could have said Basada and it said Bisadecha, so clearly Lefid Rabbanan, we can learn both dinim. The word Basada is Ma'arba Shikha's Chama, and the word Basadecha is teaching us that the only time the din of shikha applies is in your field, but if the tua flew over the fence into your neighbor's field, then the din of shikha doesn't apply. And the Gemara ends off, Rabbi Yehuda, Bisada Bisadecha, Lay Mashblei, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't feel that we can learn anything from the fact that the Torah says b'sadecha and it doesn't say the word basada. And the Gemara continues, by Rabbi Yemir, Rabbi Yemir asked the following shayla, let's say someone had tfua that he forgot in his sada, the bundle was floating in the air, and of course a bundle can't float in the air, but it wasn't on the sada itself, and it was lying on a rack, would the din of shikha apply or not? And the Gemara explains, av sada kasada dami, do we say that the airspace of a sada has the same dinim of the sada, and therefore you're going to be chayiv in shikha, or you lav sada dummy, or do we say that it's considered a separate area and it's not considered like the sada, and therefore the din of shikha doesn't apply? So I'm like Rav Kana Rav Papi, Rav Kana said to Rav Papi, V'amilon, some say Rav Kana Rav Zid, Rav Kana stated this to Rav Zid, Tishlim Gravo, Am Rav Blaza, let's bring a raya from the din that Rav Vo said in the name of Rav Blaza, Omer, that he taught us, Pralish yourself, V'amilon, Tech Stechaberi, that shikha does not apply when a bundle of wheat flies over the fence and goes into the sada of your friend. And Rav Kana continues that we should bring a raya, the chaver in, that the only time that we said that shikha doesn't apply is if the bundle went into your friend's field. However, it's muchach that if it would remain in your field, even though it's floating and it's saf and it landed on a rock, the din would be that it's chayiv in shikha and shikha does apply. And either a puppy or a zvid responded back to Rav Kana or tameich, and according to your svara, and lechayri should also be medayik l'teich stechaber it's safu in munach loy, that Rav Elazar's din that there is no din of shikha in the field of your friend is only if it's floating in the field of your friend and it's lying on a rock, but if it would actually land on the ground in your friend's field, then the din would be that it would be chayiv and shikha, and of course that doesn't make sense, because the whole way that we know this din is based on the fact that it says it's in your sada, and even if it's floating and it's on a rock in your friend's sada, it's still not in your sada, and shikha of course would not apply, and therefore it must be that Rabbi Elazar's din was even if it floated into your friend's field and it was lying on the ground, and the reason why Rabbi Elazar mentioned the Lashon Safu is the Lay Mishkachas La El Bitzafu, that the only way that it went from your field into your friend's field is that a great wind came and it floated and it flew from your field into your friend's field. But it doesn't mean that at this moment it's Safu, but at this moment it's actually lying on the ground, and you can't bring a raya from the din of Rabbi Elazar to the question of Rabbi Yemiya, as Rabbi Yemiya Shaila is where you had an actual bundle of wheat that's actually in your field and it is Besadecha, and even so Rabbi Yemiya is asking another Shaila that since it's not on the actual sada and it's lying on the rock, maybe in this case the din of shikha would not apply. And the Gemara continues with another raya, Tashma, I'll bring another raya from a braisa, if a person picks up a bundle of wheat and he grabs onto it in order to take it outside of his sada and bring it to a city, and then he puts it down on top of a different bundle, and if he gets both of these bundles, the braisa brings in machlekes, the Tanakama states, the bottom bundle has a din of shikha, but the top bundle in a shikha does not have a din of shikha. Raisa continues, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda im Mishum Rav Shimon shneim ein shikha, that the top and the bottom bundles do not have a din of shikha. Hatachto im pleishu tamin, bottom bundle because it's covered up by something and therefore there's no din of shikha, and ha'elyoin im pleishu tzav, and the din of shikha doesn't apply to the top bundle because it's floating on top of another bundle. And the Gemara explains its raya akam lepligi, that the only machlekes between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda el betachtoin is only by the lower bundle. Al ba'elyon divra kol lo yav shikha, but by the top bundle, then all agreed it's not considered shikha. And as Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda explained, that the reason why it's not shikha is b'pleishu saf, is because it's floating and it's not mamish on the ground. And therefore, this should be a raya to the tzad of Rabbi Yemiya, that when you have a bundle that's on top of a rock, that the din of shikha doesn't apply. And the Gemara responds that it's not a raya from this braisa either, as Shani Hasam kiv ne'ichse bei zachabei, that over there, the braisa actually states mefurish that the case was where a person lifted up this bundle and was about to take it to the city, and since the Baal Bayis was already zeichin it, therefore there is no din of shikha that could apply to it. And the Gemara asks, my area, Gabi Chaveri, I feel the Nami. Why does the Brisa state that this bundle was placed on top of another bundle? Even if you place this bundle down on the sun itself, the din would be that shikha doesn't apply, because he was already zeichin it. And as Rashi says, Vulsuloi have shikha, the bein shikhuach meikara could only bamitzia parakama. And the Gemara responds, Inuchanami, that it's true that even if it would not be on top of another bundle, the din would be that the top bundle would not be considered shikha, because the Baal Bayis Abayas already picked it up in order to take it to the city, and it was ready zeicha. And the only reason why the Braisa spoke about a case where the upper bundle was placed on a lower bundle is only to teach us the chiddush and the machlekes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon negated the lower bundle, as the Tanakama states that even though the lower bundle is covered, that it's still considered shicha, and Reb Shimon holds that the bottom bundle would not be considered shicha because it's tamun. And the Gemara asks another question, that how can you say that the reason why the top bundle is not considered shicha is because it was lifted up already, but the Maisa, Reb Shimon explained that he told us that the reason why he says that it's not shicha is because it's floating, and it's mashma, that's not because he lifted it up already, but it's because it's at top of another bundle, and l'chayr, this should be a raya to the question of Rabbi Yemiya. And the Gemara answers, that in the Chanami, it doesn't mean that the reason why you putter is because it's on top of another bundle, but the reason why you putter is because you already lifted up in order to go to the city, and you were already zeicha. All that Rabbi Shimon meant was that you putter from shicha because it's kitzaf, as Rashi says, you putter, shechzik boy, that you putter because you already grabbed onto it, and you picked it up, kilo hayyaden itself me'ala kaka or murach biyadai. And therefore, even though now physically it's on the ground, but it's considered as if it's still in your hands, and therefore the din of shicha doesn't apply. And the Gemara continues, Amar Abaya, Abaya once stated, Haredi keben azay b'shukri tveria. Rashi says, Yoyim echad hayudaita slula. There was one day where Abaya had such clarity, and Amani said, Haredi kamba b'budisa mucham lahashiv davel l'shoyal ba'oymik of a charifis keben azay shayichar v'derish b'shukri tveria. Now, although I'm in b'budisa, and I'm not really ben azay, but today I'm ready to answer any question, even if it's very deep and even very sharp, just like Ben Azai used to respond in the Derech of Harifis. And even though Ben Azai was a Tana and he was in the marketplace of Tveria, and therefore you had the Maila of Avir Deretz So Machim, I still feel today that I have such clarity that I could answer and respond to questions on his level. The Gemara continues, Amalei Ahumid Rabbanu Abaya. So one Tam Chacham said the following and asked the following question to Abaya. Now we just saw B'negei Adin of Shicha that there's a question about Tamun and there's also a question about Tzaf. And he came to Abaya to ask a question in regard to the din of Egla Rufa. He asked the following question, Shnei Chalolim Zeal Gabizeh Mehechin Hu Moided, that if you have two corpses one on top of the other, from what part of the corpse and which corpse would you actually measure from, but the gate din of Egla Rufa. And Rashi explains that the case was where the two corpses were on top of each other, but one was Moshech Lalom Mechaveir Ma'at, that they weren't exactly one on top of the other. And if you measure from the top body, for example, you would be closer to city A, and if you measure from the bottom body, you would be closer to city B. And the question is, what the din would be b'negei Egla Rufa? The Gemara brings three different possibilities, and Rashi will bring a fourth possibility. The first possibility is, do we say b'min b'minoi habitamun, that when you have two bodies and they're the same min, that there is a din of tamun, and therefore the din of Egla Rufa would not apply to the bottom body, or b'min b'minoi lo yavitzaf? However, we would say that since you have one corpse on top of the other, we don't consider that the top corpse is considered floating on top of the other corpse, and the din of Egla Rufa would apply to the top corpse, and therefore you would have to measure from the top corpse. Or the second side is when you had a corpse on top of a corpse, then the top one is considered that it's floating, and the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply to the top corpse. And when you have a corpse on top of another corpse, it's not considered that the bottom corpse is buried underneath a pile of rocks, and therefore so the din of Egla Rufa does apply to the bottom body, and you have to measure from the bottom body. And the third side is, do we say that we have a corpse on top of corpse, it's considered the bottom body is potter from the din of Egla Rufa because it's tamen. In addition, when you have a body floating on top of another body, the top body is also potter from the din of Egla Rufa, and the din of Egla Rufa would not apply to either body, and you wouldn't do the din of Egla Rufa at all, and you wouldn't measure from the top or from the bottom body. And Rashi brings the fourth possibility, and the din of Egla Rufa applies to both bodies, and you would have to measure from both bodies. Since one body is closer to city A, so city A would have to do an Egla Rufa, and since the second body is closer to city B, so city B would also have to do an Egla Rufa. The Gemara continues, Amalei, so Abai responded, and we continue on Daf Mem Heon Beis, Tanisu, we learned it in a Braisa, if a person had a bundle of wheat, and he grabbed onto it in order to take it to the city, and he placed it onto a different bundle, and then he forgot both of the bundles, the bottom bundle would have a din of Shekha, Elyon and in Shikha, and the top bundle would not have a difference of Shikha. And as we explained, it's because he was holding onto it, and once he was Mexican, there can't be a din of Shikha on a bundle that he already was Kaina. And Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, said over the name of Shimon, Shneim and Shikha, that both are Manach Shikha, as we saw before, Hatachtim and Pleshu Tamain, the bottom one because it's Tamain, the Elyon and Pleshu Tzav, and the top one because he was Mexican, and therefore it's always considered that it's floating, as we explained before, that we weren't able to bring a raya to the din of Tzav, and the din is that the only reason why the top bundle doesn't have a din of Shikha is because he was Zeichot, and as Rashi stated, Vesu lo yavi Shikha, and you can't say at some point it's forgotten to be in a Shikhuach Meikari, that it has to be that it was forgotten originally, and it can't be that at one point you remembered it, and you were clean it, and afterwards you forgot it. The Gemara continues and tries to explain the raya of Abaya. Savru, we thought, the Hain Tanoi Krab Yehudis for Yilu, that the Tanoim of this Braisa, meaning Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda that said over this din in the name of Shimon, both agreed to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, that he stated, Basada Pratlataman, that from the word Basada, we learn out that if something was hidden and something was covered, that the din of Shikha doesn't apply. And let us say the Machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is as follows, the Masav of Mimbamina Havataman, that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, even though it was one bundle on top of another bundle, and it was Mimbaminai, the din of Taman does apply, and therefore, since the bottom bundle is covered by something, so the din of Shikha doesn't apply, and the Tanakama holds that since you place one bundle on top of another bundle, so therefore the bottom bundle is not actually covered because it's only covered by something that's its min, and therefore there's no din of Taman, and the din of Shikha does apply. Therefore, Abai was responding to the question that this question would be taller in the Machlekes Tanayim, as according to the Tanakama, we would say min b'mina lo yavi Taman, and therefore we don't look at the bottom body as if it's Taman, and the din of Egla Rufa would definitely apply to the bottom body, and according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, then the bottom body would not have a din of Egla Rufa, as even though it's covered by a body, the din is that's considered Taman, and the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. And Ayin and Rashi, that Abaye never even tried to come and bring a raya to the question as to what the din would be, benegated the top body, as benegated itself, we were not pushing to Shiloh before, and the machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda has no bearing on the din of Tzav, and we were never able to be pushing to Shiloh of Rav Yirmiya. The Gemara continues, Loi, that's not necessarily true, as Ikrab Yehuda Sfilu, if the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda both agree to Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that the Pasuk of Basada comes to tell us Pratla Taman, then the Kule Amo Mimimino have a Taman, that both the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would agree that when you have one item on top of another, and they're both the same in, that would still be considered that the bottom item is considered covered. And V'hachah B'plutad Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan Kamitli, and the Machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon is actually the same Machlekes as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan argued. Rabbanan Krabbanan, the Tanakama holds like Rabbanan, they hold that the Pasuk of Basada comes to be Marbur Tamun, and even though you had a bundle that was underneath another bundle, the bottom bundle is still Chayiv and Shikha, as there's a Ribui that even Tamun is Chayiv B'Shikha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the word Basada comes to be Mayat Tamun, and that's why when you have a bundle of wheat on top of another bundle of wheat, the bottom bundle would be parted from Shikha because of the Miyat of Basada that teaches us L'Mayat is Shikha. However, since as we learned on Mem and Aleph, that Rav stated that our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbanan, and even though the Rabbanan stated ben negated in Shikha that Basada comes to be Marbis HaTamon, however, that's Minyan de Kra, and over here ben negated din of Egla Rufa, it's also Minyan de Kra, and Rabbanan agree that the word Basada comes to be Mayitamon, and therefore, since the Tanakama as well as Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda agree that when you have Min Baminoi, that the bottom one is still considered Tamon, so therefore, if you have one body on top of another body, then we consider the bottom body as if it's Tamon, and therefore the din of Egla Rufa does not apply to that body. And the Gemara continues that if you're telling me that the machlekes is between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is benegei a regular din of Tamon, so yehachi my iri al gabi chaveri, so why do we have to give a case where you put a bundle of wheat on top of another bundle of wheat, afilu b'afavitzor nami, but l'chayr, this machlekes is between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would be applicable even if a person placed a bunch of dirt or a bunch of rocks on top of a bundle of wheat, and all agree that the bottom bundle of wheat is definitely Tamon, and the question is, do we hold like Rabbanan that Besodah is L'Rabbi says HaTamon, or do we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Besodah is L'Mayit says HaTamon? And the Gemara answers, Ein Chinami, U'Ladich HaKeichet Rabbi Yehuda Da'ama Afilu B'Mimino Havei Tamon. Now, although it's true that we could have given a scenario where you had dirt or rocks and pebbles on top of this under bundle, however, we wanted to talk about a scenario where we had one bundle of Tua that was placed on another bundle of Tua in order for Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda to teach us a Chiddush that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even though there's one bundle of wheat on top of another bundle of wheat, and you may think that maybe that's not considered Tamun, that we still consider that Tamun, and therefore the Mid of Besada teaches us that when Maya Taman and the din of Shikha doesn't apply to the bottom bundle. And before we continue with the next Gemara, let's just point out that the din of Egla Rufa only applies when you find a Cholol, and Rashi states, Le Mikri Ela Bekli Basel Kein Cherev, that the only time that something is classified as a Cholol is only if the person was murdered with a metal instrument, for example, like a sword or like a knife. And our Gemara continues, turn on bottom, we learn to the Brisa, when the Pasuk says Cholol, we learn out Vele Chonuk, and not if he was killed by choking, Cholol Vele Mefarfer. And in addition, the only time that the din of Egla Rufa would begin is only if you found an actual dead body. However, if you found a person that was about to die and he still did not yet die, then the din of Egla Rufa would not apply. And therefore, for example, if people saw that it was a person that was about to die and they left that area and then they came back and that person's body is no longer there, then we would not have a din of Egla Rufa. And number two, if they come back and the body is in a different location, then you'd have to measure from that second location and not from the previous location. And the Brisa continues and brings the three dinim that we saw on the Mishnah, Ba'adam v'leitom v'gal, Noif v'leitol v'ilon, Ba'asad v'leitzof al-pnei amayim. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Elazar ima, Be'kulim ha'yecholol orfin, that benegeya all these dinim, if the person was dead and he died through a metal instrument, then the din of Egla Rufa would apply, even if he would be tom v'gal, or tol v'ilon, or tzof al-pnei amayim. And Ayin Rashi that states, Be'kulim v'afilim v'farfer, tzof v'tom v'toloi, and some take out the words m'farfer, as l'chayr, Rabbi Elazar should not be arguing on this, because l'maisa, someone that's little didn't die, and he's just about to die, is still not considered a cholol, and therefore Rabbi Elazar would agree to the Tanan Kama. The Gemara continues, Tani will enter the Braisa, Amr Beis Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Leil Rabbi Elazar, the Chum responded to Rabbi Elazar, I at Moida Shem HaYechonek U'mutul Ba'ashba She'in Arfin, that you even agree that if he would be choked and he wasn't killed by a metal instrument and he was thrown into a garbage heap, and even though it's not Saf and it's not Tamun and not Toloi, the din would be that you wouldn't have a din of Erg La'arufa, because you also agree that the word cholol is Dafka and Alma Krokid Chsibbois, and the din of Erg La'arufa only applies when it meets all the dinim of the Torah, and all the words are very specific. And as Rabbanan stated, Alma Chol V'Lechadek Hachinami, so therefore, when the Torah states the other words in the Pasuk, they should also be Dafka, and Ba'adam V'Leitom V'Gal, Noif V'Leitol V'Ilon, and Masada V'Leitzaf Agabi Mayim. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar, Chol Yisir Iksiv, Rabbi Elazar states that since the Torah states the word Chol twice, so that's why I say that the word Chol is specific, and we say Chol V'Lechadek. However, B'negei the other dinim, where the Torah only says the word one time, that doesn't show that the Torah meant to be specific, and the Torah was just telling us what the standard is, and the standard is that a person was found on the Adama, etc. But it doesn't mean that that is actually a specific din, b'negei Egla Rufa, and even if the corpse was found tamam begal or tala be'ilon or tzaf al pnei amayim, the din of Egla Rufa would still apply. And the Gemara continues, it quotes from Mishnah, nimtza samach tzfar, if you found a corpse next to a border, or next to a city where there are goyim, then the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. And the Gemara states, tichsiv, as the pasuk says, kiyim matzei, and we learn out, pratlum matzei, that you have to have a situation which is uncommon. However, finding a corpse by the border where it's a no man's land, or finding a corpse next to where goyim live, that is not so uncommon, and therefore the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Oyle'ir she'im ba'bezin, if you found a corpse next to the city that doesn't have a bezin of 23. And the Gemara explains, be'ina zikne'ir v'leka, because since we're going to need the zikanim of the ear to be involved in the process of Egla Rufa, and they don't have a proper bezin, therefore the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply, and you'd only measure from the point of a city that does have a bezin. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, a maiden el'ir she'ish ba'bezin, that you only measure to a city that does have bezin. And the Gemara states, pshita l'cheret pashut, kivin tana l'ir she'im ba'bezin, since we stated that if there's an ear that doesn't have a bezin, that you don't count and you don't measure from, I know you doubted that in maiden el'ir she'ish ba'bezin, so therefore we'll know that you only measure towards a city that does have a bezin. And the Gemara states, hakamashvan, that the chiddush of Mishnah is as follows, ketanya, as we learned to the Braisa, minayin shem nimsa samach l'ir she'im ba'bezin, that if you find a corpse next to a city that doesn't have a bezin, shemanicha isa, that you leave it, and then you would actually measure to a city that's the closest city that has a bezin. Therefore, the pasuk states, v'lachu zikne'ir hi, and we learn that the din of Egla Rufa applies at any time that you have a zikne'ir, and the din is mikal makim, as long as you have some sort of zikne'ir, even if it's not the closest city, the din of Egla Rufa still applies. And we continue with the next Mishnah, nimsa mechuvim b'shtei ayaris, if you found a body that's exactly equidistant between two cities, so shtei mevi, shtei agolos, divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that both cities would bring an Egla Rufa. And Rashi says, mechuvin mitzumtzum, that they're exactly equidistant. And Rashi continues, she'ein zu krev loy mizu, afilu kum leichut. And the Mishnah continues, ve'ein yushlaim mevi Egla Rufa, the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply to yushlaim, and the Gemara will explain this din. And the Mishnah continues, nimsa reishu v'makam echad, if you found the head of this person in one place, v'gufu v'makam echad, and the body of the corpse in another place, ma'ilichin HaRosh Eitz HaGuf to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that you go based on the body and not based on the head. And Rabbi Kiva says, HaGuf Eitz HaRosh, we take the body and we place it next to the head and we measure from the head. And the Gemara continues, from what part of the body would you measure? Rabbi Elazar says, you measure from a person's navel, from his belly button. And Rabbi Kiva says, from his nose. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Mimakim Shnasa Cholo Mitzavari, that you measure a person from the place where he generally becomes a cholo and he dies from, which is from his neck. And the Gemara begins that the Mishnah stated, Nimsa Mechuvim Mit Shtei Ayaris, Shtei Mevia, Shtei Agolis, Divir Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Elazar, what's Pshat in Rabbi Elazar? Kosova, Efshalot Samtim, Vikreva, Fafilu Krevis, that he holds that it's possible that there could be a body that's exactly between two cities. And number two, he holds that when Terry says, Ukrevel Ir, it doesn't mean that's Dafka Karev, even if it would be close to two cities, the same thing would apply, and both cities have to bring an Eglar Rufa. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, Ve'in Yushlaim Mevi'e Eglar Rufa, and the Gemara points out that Amr Kra, as the Pasuk says, B'negei Eglar Rufa, Ki Yimotze Cholo Ba'adama, She Hashem Alekecha Neisil Cholo Rishta, and we learn out that it has to be something that you have a Yerusha from, the Kesava, and he holds Yushlaim L'Nishak L'Shvatim, that the Tanava Mishnah holds, that Yushlaim was not given to the Shvatim, and since it wasn't a Yerusha to the Shvatim, so the Din of Eglar Rufa is not applicable. And the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Nimtzu Reish V'Makom Echa V'Guf V'Makom Acha, Malich Reish Eitz Al Guf D'Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Kiva Ima Guf Eitz Al Reish. And the Gemara continues, B'Maika Mifkli, what is the basis of the Machlekes? Elam L'Inyam Medida K'Mifkli, if you're going to tell me that the Machlekes is as to where you measure from, how many tiny sefer Ma'ayin Ha'Maydin, by the fact that the sefer speaks about from where you measure, Michlal the Reish Loi B'Medida Askinon, if what's Mashmor that the Machlekes in the Reish is not speaking about measurement, and Amar Bitzak V'Mis Mitzvah Kana Mekayim K'Mifkli, that the Machlekes in the Mishnah has nothing to do with the din of Eglar Rufa, and it's applicable to the din of a mes mitzvah, that we know when you find a mace, then you could bury him anywhere you find him, and he's clean, his makim. The Hachi Kama, and this is the way to understand the Mishnah, that we're missing a couple of words, and l'kevrei konim mekaymai, that when you find this body, and you find this corpse, then in order to bury him, it actually is clean, it's makim, and you could bury the mace wherever you find it. The hechad nimsa reisha bin makim echad, the guf of makim echad, malich l'reish itzal guf to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, when you find his head in one spot, and you find his body in another spot, then surely, b'negei the din of mes mitzvah, you would take his head next to his body and you bury this corpse in the place where you found a guf. And Rabbi Kiva states the opposite, haguf eitz al reish. And the Gemara continues, b'maika mifli, what is the basis of the machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva? And the Gemara explains, ma'asava, Rabbi Elazar holds gufa b'duchte nafel, when a person is killed, then his body must have fallen in the spot where he was killed, and reisha did not even nafel, and then his head, which was severed from his body, rolled away and fell in a different spot, and therefore you bring their head back to the body and you bury it in the place where he actually died. Rabbi Kiva holds Reisha Hechad Nafel, that when a person is killed and his head is severed from his body as he was decapitated, then his head must have fallen in the spot where he was killed, and Gufei Hudurat V'Azal, and his body kept moving after that for a few moments, and therefore his body was found in a different spot, but really the Makam Mamisa was where his head was, and that's why it was Kana Mekaymai at the place of his head, and you'd bury him where you found a head. And the Mishnah continued with the three-way Machlekes, Ma'ayin Hayim Maidin, Rabbi Elazar Ima Mitibur, Rabbi Kiva Ima Chaybay, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Ima Mokim Shnasa Cholo Mitzavari. And the Gemara asks, but Ma'ayin Mifli, what is the base of the Machlekes? Asava, Rabbi Kiva holds Ikach Yusa Ba'ape, a person's life is depending on his breathing, and therefore you measure from his nose, and as Rashi says, Hilkach Ikach Cholo Mikri, that the Ikach Cholo is called from his nose, Umoidin Minei, and you measure from that point, Kedichsev Ela Arma Shesviva Sacholo. And Umasava, Rabbi Elazar holds Ikach Yusa Bitiburi, that a person's life is dependent on his stomach, because ultimately that's where he gets his nourishment from. And the Gemara says, Lema Kedahani Tanoi, let us say this Machlekes is based on the following Machlekes of Tanoim, Mehechan Avlad Noitza, that from what part of a person's body is the fetus formed, and the Braisa brings a Machlekes and the Tanakama hold Meroisha from his head, Vechen Hoimer, and the Pasuk states, Mimeimi Atagazi, that David HaMelech tells us in Sefer Tehillim that you pulled me out from my mother's womb, Vaime Gazi Nizerech Vashlichi, that cut off your hair and throw it away. Since we see in Yirmiyah that the word Gazi refers to the person's hair of his head, so therefore when David HaMelech says Mimeimi Atagazi, that it must be that a person's formed from his head. And Abishol Ime, Abishol states Mitiburi, that a person's created from his navel, Umishaleich Shrashe Elech Ve'Elech, and from that point where he's attached to his mother's womb, that's where all of his roots are sent from all different directions, and his body is formed from that point. And therefore the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Kiva holds like the Tanakama, and a person's Ikachias is from his head, and he's formed from his head, and Abishol holds that a person's Ikachias is from his navel, and that's where he's formed from. And the Gemara says, Afil Tema Abishol, really we could say that Rabbi Kiva agrees to Abishol, and Ad Kanalei Kama Abishol El Nin Yitzira, and the only time that Abishol said this is only b'negiyah the creation of a person, the chemisiyatza vlad m'mitziyasa mitzah, that certainly when the vlad is created, it starts from its center, and it starts from its navel, and it starts from where the vlad is attached to its mother. Abla inyin chiyusa dekuli alma ba'apehu, but certainly even Abishol would agree that a person's life is dependent on his nostrils, and is dependent on ear. Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, kol she'nishmas ruach chayim ba'apav, and therefore we see that a person is shama, and a person's life is dependent on his nostrils and dependent on his breathing. And the Gemara just explained the shita of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov ben Makim shenasa cholo mitzavari, that we begin measuring from a person's neck, which is the place where he becomes a cholo from. And the Gemara explains, my time Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And the Gemara brings a pasuk from Yechezkel the Chidchiv, as the pasuk says, lasis isach el tzavari chalali rishoyim. So we see that a neck is associated with the word cholo, and therefore Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov holds that b'negei egla rufa, you measure from the neck of the corpse, and we will stop over here.